Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm just doing a little TV. I walked in here and Millennial Ben's like, hey, shh.
I didn't miss a beat. Be quiet.
I didn't miss a beat.
You can walk in while I'm doing TV.
Be quiet.
And Benny's like, yeah, Mark's doing some TV. I'm like, ooh. And then, yeah, you were on with, who were you on with?
First things first, with Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, and Kevin Wilde.
Oh, Nick Wright. That's the guy that hates Denver.
He's a Kansas City guy.
And he hates Denver.
Yeah, just like you're a Denver guy that hates Kansas City. Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, but he goes out of his way.
Well, because...
To trash...
Of course he does.
The Broncos, to trash Nikola Jokic.
Of course. Why wouldn't...
I mean, we play a song for Patrick Mahomes because... We have so much respect for him.
Well, not since they became irrelevant.
Right.
We haven't played that song because they're not good anymore, and Mahomes is awful.
Right. We haven't had to play it since the league figured him out.
Yeah, before he was a bust, before he became a bust,
yeah.
We used to have to play it all the time. But now
that he's washed.
Now he's washed up.
No real need to play it.
No more washed up 26. It's too bad. You know, it's a tragic... You should make a Hollywood movie off this tragic story. How did one player go from being the best all time to irrelevant?
It's like a
Patrick Mahomes story.
It's like a VH1 Behind the Music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Patrick Mahomes had it all.
What do you call it? A dearth or what's the song, like a death march? Is it a dirge?
A dirge.
Yeah, a dirge. Is that what it is, a dirge? Is that dirge music playing in the background?
I kind of missed the song. I mean, we have no reason to play the song, but should we play the song just because we miss it?
No,
you're right. It is part of a payoff.
Yeah, I mean, they're back to being September's darlings. We all thought they were going to be great in September. And now they're just pooping in their helmets. They're so desperate they're trying to get OBJ on their team.
Right?
Yeah, that'll fix it. Are there any, can you rent a boat in Kansas City? Are there any, like, lakes where OBJ can rent a boat and take shirtless photos? That'd be great.
Are they the new dynasty that never was, replacing Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, or Russell Wilson in Seattle? Are they the new dynasty that never was?
And we can only hope.
We can only hope. Oh, my goodness.
Love it.
On the text line, Nick Wright is some of the worst garbage on TV.
Oh.
How he has a job is ridiculous.
I love Nick Wright. He plays the game well. So you just got played by Nick Wright because you let him get under your skin.
Well, I think
that's what he's doing.
I think there's a certain art to getting under the skin, wedge driving, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to think I'm pretty good at it, but I'd like to think that I do it in a way that the things I say have a little bit of, substance and credibility behind him. When he was trashing Nikola Jokic last year, I'm like, what are you basing that on?
Well, when he was,
where are you coming up with this stuff?
Because it's a national. This is where it is. This is a national. The Nuggets are irrelevant on a show like his. You don't talk about them. They're like Fight Club. What happens in Denver stays in Denver. The first rule of national television is you don't talk about the Nuggets. That's the first rule.
Oh, and the country cares about Kansas City?
beyond the NFL when they're good. Same thing is here. Does the country care about Denver when Denver's good? Sure.
They have taken.
Do they care about the Royals?
They've taken over.
And that's it, because Kansas City isn't a major league town. They only have two.
Well, the Royals did win a World Series not too many years ago.
Your point? They don't have basketball. They don't have hockey.
My point is,
they're not a big league town.
My point is that we don't have any World Series wins.
Oh, but we got two Stanley Cup wins.
That's a good call.
And we have a President's Trophy.
That's right. We do have a President's Trophy.
We've had hockey players come through here worthy of video tributes. What have they had?
But this is not a hockey flyover city.
No, it's not.
It's a big time hockey city.
Yes, it is.
Not so much with basketball.
By
the way, when everybody was really pissed off at Nick Wright for saying the Broncos were going to win four games, and everybody was livid.
I was at 4-2. Was it four? Oh, that was like Adam Rank had two.
He did four.
Nick had four.
And everybody lost their mind because remember we drafted two wide receivers and we were so talented and we were so fast and speedy and we were going to win everything. And then we won a whopping five games. It was incredible. We've already matched our win total.
That's right.
From last year. Now we're rolling.
That's right. We are rolling.
How you like us now?
That's right. Come get a taste.
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
We're back.
City. Come on now. Team's ready to roll.
Come on, hear the noise. Girls rock your boys.
I saw them.
It's been a good shot. A good show start.
They played. Quiet Riot played. You know when a band has fallen upon tough times, when they were like so big at one point, and this was years ago, and it was like a Saturday afternoon, the Avalanche were playing Columbus or somebody, and they had like 9,000 people in the building.
And they played.
And they like carved out a luxury suite and set up like a little makeshift stage in there.
Right.
And, in between periods, Quiet Riot performed.
Quiet
from
Riot.
A little luxury suite.
And you know they didn't have the good snacks in that suite. They had like cheese and crackers. Here, have a one slice of salami per band member.
And they tried.
And get out.
You ready to rock?
Ooh, I wanna rock! Bam! Dun, 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 dun.
Oh yeah, that is Twisted Sister. But you know what? Same genre.
I don't know. I don't know if Dee Snider and Twisted Sister had to resort, lower themselves to that point.
Slumming around.
Hockey games.
We'll sing for salami. We'll sing for salami. So damn hungry.
We'll sing for salami. All right. Well, hey, happy vet.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah. Gosh, I missed it.
All right, coming up, the best of our buddy Joel Klatt. Did he react to the Broncos' win over the Cowboys the way that most Bronco fans reacted? Hear him next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Every Thursday at this time, we give you a chance to hear the best of our buddy Joel Klatt, who joins us for an extended, 30 minutes? Much to Benny's chagrin. On Wednesdays, we always try to give you the best of the best, which started with Mark asking Joel if he had any interest from a Broncos standpoint in Odell Beckham Jr.
Not after you saw the addition via subtraction for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they looked the best that they've looked in, I don't know, the Mayfield era. the week that he leaves the building, it was almost like a big sigh of relief. I don't think it can be overstated the effect of locker room culture on the performance on the field. I think there are some teams that have gotten away with, you know, bringing in guys with checkered pass or reputations that are maybe not the shiniest in NFL circles. But what they generally have, the teams that get away with it, namely like the Patriots under Tom Brady, is a foundational piece in the locker room that holds those new pieces accountable, right? So there is a standard for those individuals that, one, they know that they'll just get thrown out the next day if they do anything wrong. And two, like, they're no longer the big fish. And in Denver, that would not be the case for Odell. So, no, I mean, everything that you just said was correct. Like, they actually have, for as bad as it seems to have been this year, and in particular with the offensive coaching and the game plans, they are all of a sudden in a position to actually do something. And I don't think that they have the type of locker room that could survive bringing in what seems to be a culture cancer like Odell Beckham.
Were you like most of Broncos country who sat down and watched the Broncos-Cowboys game and went, where did that come from?
Yes. What in the world? What was that, 41 minutes time of possession? Out rushing him like that? Dallas didn't do a thing. I mean, the defensive performance was outstanding. The week Von Miller gets traded, all of a sudden you're just taking one of the best offenses in the entire National Football League, and you're basically stuffing them in a locker? Like, what? Where did that come from? Which, as great as it was on Sunday, did any of you, as I did on Sunday afternoon or even evening, think to yourself, like, well, why couldn't they do that all the time? It was almost more frustrating that we saw that on the road against a team that, let's face it, had some Super Bowl aspirations. And I don't know if they do anymore after a loss like that to a 500 Broncos team at the time. But, man, that was as equal, like, as high as it was to watch it, and man, this is fun. 30-0. You never get to see a route like that in the NFL. Everything's a one possession game. Everything's a game like Mark called in Baltimore, which was a phenomenal game. Like, everything is like that. That's the way the league is built. You never get to sit there and enjoy a blowout. And then we are 30-0. And as euphoric as that was, didn't any of you, as I did on Sunday afternoon and evening, think to yourself, well, that's bullcrap that we don't see that more often. Maybe not to that extent, but anything close to that of some sort of competitive consistency from this team. I mean, it was an incredible performance, and it made me even more frustrated Sunday night. Maybe I'm just an angry person. I don't know, but it actually did make me frustrated.
All right, so here's my question for you. It's easy to be committed to the running game when your running backs are ripping it off at 7 yards a carry. That's like, yep, to me, that's easy. It's, yep, hard when all of a sudden you have two or three runs in a row that are 2 yards per. It's hard. Can Pat Shurmur learn from the errors of his past ways?
Ah, didn't even get the question out.
Can he learn?
I mean,
can
he learn? This guy's stripes are dyed in with ink, and I think it's, I mean, I've hoped for, I don't know, you know, how many games in a row now that we would see him have this commitment, like a commitment level to the run game that would be complimentary and win the time of possession and eventually find success. You know, the amount of play callers, both college and pro football, that get bored with the run game if it's not ripping off large runs and then they abandon it is staggering. Like, guys do it all the time. I thought Ohio State did it in my game against Nebraska on Saturday. And it just doesn't make any sense to me, because what you do know, and you were a part of teams like this. Now, granted, you were that Broncos late 90s run, that was some of the best rushing game in the history of the league. You guys used to rip off long runs a lot. But I don't think it was necessarily, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it was necessarily that case all the time. And I don't think it was certainly that case when you were in Washington. But what you did know, Stink, was that if you committed to it and you threw those body shots enough early in the game, late in the game, you would be able to control the game with the run. And that's what I think is lost on today's play caller, is that they feel like they need to be successful with the run game at all times rather than committing to it for what it will give you later in the game. And that's one of my big frustrations with Pat Shurmur and watching his offenses during the course of his tenure.
I want to go back to what you had to say about OBJ and the Browns. In maybe different ways, were the Broncos inspired, motivated, liberated at all by the departure of Von Miller?
I mean, it's so difficult to say because he was such a heartbeat piece and foundational piece to a championship, right? I mean, like he was the main piece of a Super Bowl winning team. And obviously Odell has never been close to that. So that's a tough comparison for me. And maybe I'm just looking through the, you know, the orange colored glasses, if you will, of a Bronco fan, but I respected and thought more of Miller than what I do of Odell Beckham. And I think what he meant to that organization was better. But maybe if anything, Mike, it put everyone on notice that, listen, you're playing for your job. And maybe that motivation is what we saw on the field on Sunday.
There he is, the best of Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatirons. Bring that to you each and every Thursday morning after his extended visit with us on Wednesday. Coming up next, we've got the morning brew for you and why the Michael Malone critics need to step back. And is this the way it's going to be for the Avalanche all season? That's coming up next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
Yeah, no Nicola, so we need somebody else to step up and maybe score a little bit more. But Will's been doing that every night. I mean, he's probably been, aside from Nicola, our most consistent player, our most impactful player. Scoring, rebounding, playmaking. He took a bad shot tonight in front of a bench. He goes, oh, my fault, coach, that's a bad shot. Like, he's so in tune with what we're trying to do right now.
There he is, Michael Malone. And for all the Michael Malone critics out there, and there are plenty, who wonder, why does he call out his team after losses? And I've always defended him by saying, look, the guy has been here for a long time. He knows which buttons he can push and can't push. And clearly he still has the attention of his team. Clearly the ability to lead and motivate and inspire is still there because they were playing without Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and Nikola Jokic. It's like $500-600 million worth of contracts that were sitting out. No problem. They beat Indiana 101-98. The also much maligned at times Will Barton. This is when you love to have a Will Barton. On those nights where it's like, hey, Will, we need you to go out and shoot a lot.
Go fill it up,
Will. Go fill it up.
11-19. 6-9 from three-point land. 30 points he hangs on. Good for Will Barton. Hey, is Nikola Jokic overrated? We don't need him to win.
Are the Nuggets better without him?
Yeah.
Should they trade him?
Should they trade him?
That'll the Von Miller bump.
That'll be, the Stephen A. will be talking about that on whatever,
right,
whatever show he's at.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe the Von Miller bump is playing out not only for the Broncos, but for the Nuggets as well. And what about the Avs if they get a win tonight? Don't they play the Canucks tonight?
They play the Canucks. We'll get to that in a second. But,
the Von Miller bump. It's real, people.
A couple of first round picks stepping up and contributing. Zeke Nagy, who I'd like to see more of, but just can't seem to crack the rotation. Called on out of necessity, played 20 minutes, 19 points, 5 rebounds. Good job, Bones Highland. Also had a nice game. So, good contributions, next man up mentality. Nuggets get themselves a really satisfying team win. Next on the morning brew.
We've had quite a few injuries already throughout the course of the season, kind of just a next man up mentality, and
You know, see JT go up in that spot. He's been playing well, so more opportunity for him to have a bigger role. And of course, he missed one of the best players in the league. But we just have to keep battling and do the best we can without him.
Yeah, I get the whole next man up there, EJ, Eric Johnson. But at some point, you need your best players out there. And Nathan MacKinnon's going to be out 3 weeks now with a lower body injury. And you just wonder. It's kind of just that little kind of creeping, icy fingers on your neck concern that, is this the way it's going to be? Is this just the way 2021-2022 season's going to be? The Avalanche constantly trying to make do without guys? That's the way it's been at the beginning.
Yeah, the lower body injury. You hope that, you weather the storm early and then everybody's good late for the late push. You know what I mean? That's kind of when these things happen early, you're like, okay, but when we get the break here and when we have, they don't have a lot of games in the month of November, right? So if you're going to miss 3 weeks.
Right. And you also have a huge break coming up in, I think, February with the Winter Olympics. So, I get what you're saying. Whereas last year, you were a front runner all along. You won the President's Trophy. You had that big bullseye on your back. Maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing to kind of lie in the weeds a little bit this year.
Where are the Winter Olympics?
Hold on.
Show your little fingers going. I almost said Lillehammer. I love it when they say that. Lillehammer or whatever it is.
It's in Beijing.
Oh. Is there a Lillehammer in Beijing?
No. Huh, that's interesting. I guess I don't think of Beijing as a winter type, like,
what's the temperature?
Like Austria or something. Or
what's the temperature in Beijing right now?
I know.
I feel like Beijing is tropical. Not necessarily tropical, but warm. But,
right, so did I. You have the Summer Olympics there, but
I think of Beijing as more like Atlanta.
Okay. All right.
You know, that kind of.
Yeah.
Hot and sticky in the
Beijing
summertime.
Beijing is the Atlanta of China.
Yeah, Beijing, I feel like, is the Atlanta of China.
Next on the Morning Brew.
You just got to respect the game, man, and respect your opponent. And never forget that dark place that we were in a couple weeks ago. This is a time in sports where, it can be dangerous. Just a couple weeks ago, you were hearing, you guys suck. Get rid of this person. Trade this guy. And then you win a game or two, and it's like, you're the best, this and that. And, man, you got to ignore it all.
Teddy Bridgewater reminding everybody, don't take the cheese.
First off,
don't take the cheese.
First off, yes, we were saying trade everybody. They did trade Von Miller, the face of the franchise. Everybody was saying you suck. But nobody's saying you're the greatest thing ever now. I mean, nobody's saying that. I would just suggest, in that dark place we were a couple of weeks ago, you're still in a dark place.
I was glad he acknowledged the dark place.
But don't think because you got two wins. One against a really good Cowboy team, one against a Washington team that's not very good. Don't all of a sudden think you guys have arrived. That's what scares me. You're 3-0 against NFC East teams. You got your last NFC East team coming in this weekend, Philadelphia. You trucked the Giants, you trucked the Cowboys. You barely beat the Wolfed. Don't think you're all of a sudden, you're always in a dark place. You should always have the perspective of we're in a dark place.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I mean, what a test, for us defensively. We take a lot of pride in red zone defense, and that's going to be a big battle.
There's Justin Simmons. When you think about how we looked at this defense at the beginning of the season, is it fair to even talk about this defense in the context of how we envisioned this defense at the beginning of the season, or have there just been so many changes and the defense that we're watching right now bears very little resemblance to what we started out with, that do we have to attach a different set of standards to this defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think you do right now. I mean, obviously, good thing you loaded up in the offseason on corners, right? Because now you're down. Pat Surtain's not going to play this game. Callahan is injured. He's not going to play in this game. So Von Miller is gone. Bradley Chubb, for all intents and purposes, hasn't played all year. Your two middle linebackers are both out. You got new middle linebackers. I mean, this is a completely different defense. That you still have high expectations because they spent a lot of money there, but it's a completely different defense. Yeah, you went out and got Young from the Rams on a trade. Weatherly's been a nice addition. Browning, a draft pick. What was he, a third or fourth round draft pick? Third rounder? He's playing now. I mean, it's a completely different group that you have out there. And they performed last week. They were great.
I just looked it up. Beijing does have winter.
What?
Yeah.
Are they the Atlanta of China?
No. In winter, the average temperature is a few degrees below freezing.
What?
Sunshine is quite common, and a cold wind blows in from the deserts of Mongolia.
Ooh, that sounds,
oh, that sounds
very foreboding.
Yes, it does. The deserts of Mongolia.
Yeah, I don't want to get
stuck in the deserts. Genghis Khan lived and stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
Good old Genghis.
What a
great name.
Didn't like Dirk Pitt get stuck in the
Mongolian
desert?
Oh, of course he did.
Found a way to get out somehow.
Well, of course he found a way to get out of Dirk Pitt.
Yeah.
Mongolian desert.
Swordsman.
What?
Man.
Colder periods, the temperature remains below freezing even during the day and can drop to 0 or 5 degrees at night.
Who knew?
Who knew?
I guess they're not the Atlanta of China.
Apparently, China has cold winters. So.
They're more like the Anchorage of China.
They're more like the Anchorage of China and not the Atlanta of China. Okay, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up next, you heard what Teddy Bridgewater had to say about avoiding a letdown. I thought Vic Fangio had a very short, succinct, to-the-point answer. Caught my attention. See if it catches yours. Next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Allow me to stand up for Stinking Eye here.
Okay, good. Is somebody coming after us? Do I have to get involved?
How dare you?
Beijing is as cold as H.E. double hockey sticks in the winter. Beijing is as far north as New York City. Followed up by this text. Neither of you really bolstering the belief that the U.S. school system is educating the country. Geography 101, anyone? In fairness, why is it fair, without really having studied it, to wonder why Beijing is hosting the Winter Olympics this year? Is because in 2008, Beijing hosted the Summer Olympics. And that was in the back of my mind. Wait a minute, didn't Beijing do the Summer Olympics? So how are they getting the Winter Olympics?
Apparently they have four seasons.
Like, is L.A. going to host the Summer and Winter Olympics? No.
Yeah, but China isn't the L.A. of China. Or L.A. isn't the China of L.A.
No, Beijing isn't the L.A. of China.
Oh, yeah, Beijing. Yeah, not China. Beijing isn't the L.A. is not the Beijing
of China. Okay, but can you, unless I'm...
Please stop.
Completely overlooking one. Can you think of an American city that has hosted both the Summer and Winter Olympics? No, you can't.
Denver could do it.
Well, Denver hasn't.
What about in New York? Have they ever had a Summer Olympics in New York? Because where's Lillehammer? No, what was it?
Well, you are fascinated with Lillehammer.
Yeah, I am. I like that. Where's the ski slope that they did where the hockey, U.S. hockey won in
Lake Placid.
Yeah, Lake Placid.
Yes.
That's in New York.
Winter. Yes, upstate New York.
Yeah, well,
winter.
They could do downstate. They could do the Summer Olympics. It's hot, sticky in New York.
What's going on?
You need Gold Bond on your onions in the summertime New York.
Those would be the Batwing games.
Yeah, exactly. Welcome back to the Batwing games here on NBC. It is sticky hot.
I know. What are we talking about? Talk about. Sure you are. I want to dedicate it.
We're back.
All right. So the texter says, stop it, you two. You can't do math or geography. You are right about the math.
Mm-hmm.
No argument about the math.
Yeah, the math is not
own the math problems. They are literally problems. We own that. Not our strong suit.
Well, I think when I think of China, though.
But give us a, cut us a little slack, okay? I don't think anybody, you know, grows up as a fifth grader wondering what the, you know, winters are like in Beijing.
Yeah.
Okay? Just like I'm sure over there in China, they're not grinding away on what's the weather in the winter in Atlanta.
No, they probably are, though. They're way more educated.
That's true. Okay.
All right.
So the big question this weekend for the Broncos is how do they handle prosperity? How do they handle?
I love that question.
Two wins in a row. Is this team mature enough to be able to handle two wins in a row? Will they stay hungry? I thought Vic Fangio had a very short, to the point answer when he said, what's the key to being able to handle a victory like that the right way? Here's what he said.
You got to get addicted to winning and you want more.
I like that. Addicted to winning. As somebody who won a lot in his career, you were part of winning teams. Do you have to have guys who are addicted to winning? And is it not as simple and as obvious as it sounds? Finding guys who are addicted to winning.
Yeah, I like that term. Let me just go ahead and get rid of, let me just get over this. This is the, perfunctory.
Yes.
Yes.
Go through the steps.
You know, Vic Fangio said in a press conference, you have to be addicted to winning. And I completely agree. You know, Mike, I heard this somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where I heard it, but you got to be addicted to winning. And I agree with the statement made by whoever said it. You know, I've always felt like you got to be addicted to winning, Mike. And it's a lot harder than you think.
Done. Yeah. Continue.
Okay. So addicted to winning. I love the statement because there's so much truth to it. And it comes down to this, the workload, the stuff that you have to do, the sacrifices that you have to be willing to make for that addiction to set in. And you say it all the time, where the wins aren't nearly as gratifying as the losses hurt. You know, there's not an exact transverse correlation. Because you have to move on and be addicted to the work, the process, the sacrifice that it takes to win. And that is something you have to have special dudes, special guys.
More than two.
Yeah, you gotta have way more than two dudes. Yeah, you gotta have way more. Two dudes is never gonna be enough.
Ultimate dudes.
You have multiple dudes.
Multiple. Like
two dudes.
No, not two dudes.
12? 15 dudes?
I'd say you have to have, yeah, upwards of 15 to 25 dudes
that just hate losing.
Right.
And are
everybody
to
else
winning.
Right. Then everybody else has to follow suit.
Ultimate dudes.
Or you have to have one dude with a ginormous forehead.
Right.
Yeah, that's why our show's so popular. Why do you think we're number one every book?
They got to have somebody on the show with a big forehead.
Anybody, if you've got a ginormous forehead, you can't help but follow.
Good point.
Follow my forehead to freedom. And, you know, we all just like trudge along with you.
Right. I'm not in the habit of wearing a football helmet, but if I did.
Be a giant helmet.
You think I'd have a splotch too? Would I have a Peyton splotch if I wore a helmet? If I wore a helmet, if I just did this show for about 3 hours wearing a football helmet.
I could bring one in.
Bring it in. Would I have a Peyton-esque splotch when it was all said and done?
There's no question.
That'd be awesome. I'd be proud of that.
Bro. Yeah, you would need one of them big bubble helmets like Wes Welker used to wear.
Remember when he wore that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mark Kelso. Remember that?
Yeah.
Mark Kelso.
Yeah, and I remember when Welker came out with that the first time. It really, you know, my first thought was?
Gazoo.
That and Lord Helmet.
Yes. They say a Schwartz is
dark
bigger
helmet.
Than mine.
Dark Helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lord Helmet.
Lord Helmet. Helmet.
Same thing. I knew. I was.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Totally connected with you.
Now let's see how well you handle it.
All right. Coming up in about 20 minutes, the one and only Sandy Clough is going to join us, get his thoughts on the big Nuggets, Nuggets win last night without all their key guys. He was there with the Nuggets postgame show. Share his thoughts. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Up next, is Tim Patrick the Broncos' best wide receiver? And does this guy need to get paid? That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.